Proverbs 29 and verse number 18. By now, I hope you found it. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
I preach, I know we've got some bishops here. Sometimes I preach a lot of revivals out in different places, whatever. And I preached one place one time. And you know, at the end of revival, the preacher always asks you to stand in the back, shake hands with people as you go out and that thing, kind of thing. So I was standing back there and shaking hands with people. And this gentleman come out and he shook hands and he said, that was the longest sermon I've ever heard in my life. And I didn't know what to say. It just sort of caught me off guard. But he didn't go out. He went around and got back in the back of the line, going to go through again. And this time, when he went through, he shook my hand and he said, you know, I'd have got a whole lot more if I just stayed at home. And I said, well, I appreciate that. And he got back in the line. He didn't go out. He got back in the line. And when he shook my hand this time, he said something else. And I can't remember what it was. Something about the sermon, how, you know, it just didn't go together or something. Anyway, and so he went on out the door that time. And I looked at the preacher. I said, you see that guy right there? I said, most of them don't bother me. And I said, you see that guy right there? And I told him what he said. I said, "Preacher, just what he said. He shook his hand. This is what he said. He got back in the line, said this, and that's him." He said, "Oh, don't pay no attention to him. Ask George. He just repeats what he hears everybody else say." That makes you feel real good, wouldn't it? Proverbs 29 and verse number 18. And it's what the Bible says. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now I want you to notice the first part of that verse. And this is what it says. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, let me bring your thoughts to what we're trying to do here. We've been meeting the last few Wednesday nights and had a meeting last Wednesday night about trying to, what we're going to do to reach our community. A few Wednesday nights before that, some of us got together and was trying to say, what can we do and to reach our community for a smaller church like we are out in the country in Millsfield? How do you reach our community and all that kind of thing? And yes, we want people to come to our church. We want to invite people to come to our church. But more important than them coming to church, we want to introduce them to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
More important than coming to our church. Yes, we want everybody to come. We want every seat filled in the whole building. But more importantly than that, we want to introduce people to Jesus Christ. And that verse says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, let me say this about vision. It's not about fortune telling and all these kinds of things, reading into a crystal ball and having a vision of something. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a vision that Walt Disney had when he walked out into an empty lot of nothing but trees and grass and all of that, and had a vision of something that he saw in the future that he wanted to do. And ladies and gentlemen, now everybody in the world goes to Disney World and sees that vision that man has. What kind of vision do we have for Christ Church, Baptist Fellowship? What kind of vision do you see for our church? Is it just us four and no more? Are we satisfied with where we're at? Do we have a vision for reaching our community for the Lord Jesus Christ?
Come on,
that's what the Bible says. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I'm not talking about eating too much pepperoni pizza before you went to bed last night and had a vision of all kinds of things before you went to bed. I'm not talking about that kind of vision. I'm talking about a vision for the things of God in the house of God for the people of God. A vision for this community, a vision for our church. Number one, where there is no vision of lost souls, people perish. Where there is no vision of people being lost. When you say lost, you say, what do you mean when you mean lost? Well, if you've never been found by the Lord Jesus Christ, you're lost. A person that has never been found. A lot of times we say, well, I found the Lord back in 1972. I got news for you. That all sounds well and good. You didn't find the Lord. He found you. We didn't find Him. It was like Adam in the Garden of Eden. Adam, where art thou? He wasn't looking for God, but God came looking for him. And there was a time in my life, and I hope there was a time in your life, when God came looking for you. And you were found. And if you haven't been found, you're still lost. And we say, those people are lost. They've lost their way. And all those kinds of things. I think one of the greatest things that would revolutionize our churches is a great revival that would sweep across this land like days of old, where people would come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. God gave a vision to the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts chapter number 16. And when it's all said and done, things happened. People were saved. Families were baptized. Cities were transformed and stirred. Earthquakes happened. Prayers were answered. Jails were destroyed. And the work of God went on. And in chapter number 16 and verse number 9, the Bible said this, told Paul, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Lord, give us that vision of a vision where people in Millsfield are saying, hey church, hey Christ church, come and help us. Sometimes we look at people that don't go to church and we look down. Lord, ladies and gentlemen, they may not have been raised in church like I was. They may not have been raised in a preacher's home like I was. They don't know any better until we go and tell them there is a better way. Without the vision of lost souls, people will perish. Come and help us. That was the vision that Paul had. When Jesus had the vision in Matthew 9 and verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd. He didn't see them as prospective folks. He didn't see them as statistics. He saw them as souls that needed a shepherd to lead them along the way. He saw missionary work. He saw visitation work. He saw a great revival moving in that area. Oh, that we would get the vision that David Brainerd had when he went to the Indian reservations. And he didn't see them as an enemy of the white man and the Indians that the white men were at odds. He didn't see them as an enemy. He saw them as souls that need to be saved for the cause of Christ. He started winning those Indians to the Lord and preaching to those Indians. And those Indians started coming to the saving knowledge of the grace of God and died at the age of 29 of tuberculosis. And they caught him, they found him, kneeling by his bedside, praying this, oh God, save the red man for the cause of Christ. He had a vision for those people. There was another fellow by the name, he was a missionary by the name of David Livingston. David Livingston. Back in the old days, David Livingston had a heart and a vision for the continent of Africa. And this is back when he would go over to Africa, these folks over there said, we didn't even know we were black because we ain't never seen anybody else. It wasn't our government.
Amen.
And until David Livingston come over here and started preaching to us, we didn't know there was any such thing as a white man. And he said that man faced all kinds of things and the elements of that country and all those kinds of things. And he preached to those people, and those people began to come to the saving knowledge of the grace of God. David Livingston was kneeling down at his cot in his tent where he was staying, and prayed so hard, and prayed every day for those people. He lived over there for many, many, many years, and those people fell in love with him because he introduced them to Jesus Christ. He prayed and prayed, and they found him slumped over his, the edge of his cot there, and in a prayer, you know, down on his knees, praying for those people of Africa. They shipped his body back to England, where he was from. And they buried him in England. But the people of Africa said, his body belongs to England, but his heart belongs in Africa. And they took his heart out of his body, and they buried his heart in Africa, where his heart was. That's where his vision was for those people. Ladies and gentlemen, give us that kind of vision that we need to reach this community for the cause of Christ. There was a little fellow by the name of Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor in 1881 went to the continent of China and went over there to the country of China and preached to those people and won those people to the Lord. Now, sometimes we don't see the results of that anymore. Why? Because we're not having the missionaries like we used to have. We're not seeing the great revivals like we used to see. There was another fellow. You may remember him, William Booth. William Booth was come up in the formal church of England. He's walking down the streets of England, London, and he was noticing those poor people in the streets of London. And William Booth left the former church of England and started something you may have not have heard of. It's called the Salvation Army. For people out in the street. Why? He had a vision for those people. And until we get a vision for our community, until we see them as God sees them and love them like God loves them, without a vision, the people perish.
Amen.
Somebody say amen right there. That's good preaching, even if I am doing it. Where there is no vision of lost souls, the people perish. Number two, where there is no vision of the judgment seat of Christ, where there is no vision of the judgment seat of Christ, the people perish. There is coming a day, ladies and gentlemen, where we must all appear and stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will give an account for those people that we had an opportunity to lead to the Lord and didn't. We have an opportunity to speak to somebody about the Lord and won't, or can't, or won't, or don't. We'll stand before God and give an account, because where there is no vision of that thing, you know why a lot of times we don't worry about it? It's because we don't have a vision. We don't think about what's coming after this. If we only stopped and thought about what happens after this, standing before an almighty God to give an account for everything that's been done in the body, whether it's good or bad, then we would have a vision and get busy for the kingdom of God, because we have a vision. So that everyone must give an account, Romans 14:12. So everyone must give an account of himself to God. Say, well, boy, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to get so-and-so back. I'm going to get them back. They did me wrong. I'm going to get them back. I got news for you. I learned this a long time ago. Won't you let God handle them? Because the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And I promise you this, God can do a better job in getting somebody back than you can.
Amen.
Guess what? When we stand before God, you're not going to be worried about so-and-so getting his. You're going to worry about what's between you and the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Without a vision of the judgment seat of Christ, ladies and gentlemen, if we would leave this building and just decide that I'm going to do right. I'm going to do right no matter if the whole world says it's wrong.
Come on, bro.
I'm going to do right no matter what. And I'm going to do what's right for my family. I'm going to do what's right for God and our country and our church. Ladies and gentlemen, revolutionize our church.
Amen.
But I heard a story about a fellow. He was working, and it was just a crowd of people, and it was very monotonous, and people just trying to buy this and that. I think they were buying tickets for something. And finally, this gentleman got up to the ticket man, and he says, hey, guy, does this stuff bother you? Did these people just all everywhere? These people bother you? They bother you? He said, no, they don't bother me. He He says, as long as I satisfy the boss man, which is in the office right above me.
Amen.
And you got to think about that. You look around the whole world and you say, does it bother you that people make fun of you? Does it bother you that they talk and say, well, you know, all that religious stuff is old school and nobody's preaching that kind of stuff anymore. Does that bother you? I say, no, just as long as I'm pleasing the guy in the office above
me. Amen.
That's all that matters.
Right.
It's not about me trying to please you or you trying to please me. It's about us trying to please him. This church ain't about me. This church ain't about you. It's all about him.
Amen.
When we get a vision of lost souls, when we get a vision of the judgment seat of Christ, when it's coming, we'll know and we will change our thinking about this community. Let me say this. Number three. Where there is no vision. Now, y'all stay in your seat. Stay in your seat now. I didn't get this sermon from Joel Osteen. Get ready, because we don't hear this one very often in churches. But I'm going to tell it to you this morning. Where there is no vision of heaven, people perish.
Amen.
Where there is no vision of heaven, you know, everybody believes in heaven.
Yes.
We even got no, all dogs go to heaven. And that may be true, all dogs may go to heaven. I guarantee you cats ain't going. Hallelujah. No cats in heaven, hallelujah. I'm telling you, can't be. It can't be. Now, dogs will be alright, but a cat, I'm telling you. Any cat lovers in there? I'm just kidding. Oh, mercy. Where there is no vision of heaven. Can you imagine this? And you say, preacher, do you really believe there is a place called hell?
Yes, I sure do. Amen.
If there is a heaven, there has to be a hell.
Amen.
If there's a heaven up there, there's a hell down there. And if heaven is true, and God is true, and that Bible is true, then hell is a real place. And you say, who goes to hell? Can I tell you this? In Matthew 25, the Bible says this, that hell was created for the devil and his angels, which are the demons and evil spirits and all that kind of thing. That's what hell was created for. Hell was never intended for people to go there. Hell was never created for anybody to go there. Why? Because God wants everybody to be saved. God wants everybody. But when a person hears the gospel and rejects what Jesus did for them on the cross of Calvary, and they reject, they say, I don't want what you did for me. I want to do my own thing. Then when that person, this is plain talk, folks. This is plain. Dyersburg, Tennessee needs plain talk. When a person does not accept Jesus Christ and what he did for them on the cross, when they take their last breath, they go to a place called hell. I'm not happy about it. I don't like it. I'm not for it. But it is true. Now, when a saved person takes their last breath, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
So we take their body and we put them out in the graveyard, but their soul and their spirit on the inside goes immediately to be with the Lord in heaven. And we all get excited about that. Woo! That's good.
Amen.
But if that's true, and we're all shouting about that, that's wonderful, then the other side of the coin is true as well. When a person don't know the Lord as their personal Savior, then when they take their last breath, they don't go to heaven. They go to a place called hell. And in Luke 16, the Bible says, the rich man, when he took his last breath and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus, he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. It is a real place. And if we ever get a vision of a place like that, if we ever get in our mind that that is a real, genuine place, we won't have a problem reaching our community for God. Let me tell you what would do us more good than anything else if God would just this morning just move the floor, move the ground, and just move back and let us look down into that place called hell and hear the sounds and the terror that's coming from that place. We would leave this place. We wouldn't even take time for invitation. We would leave this place. People would be going to tell their neighbors. They would be going to tell their family. It would be a serious time because we had a vision of hell. It's a real place. And people are going there, but they don't have to. Amen. I was expecting a lot of amens and a lot of shouting this morning, but I was expecting a few more than what I'm getting. Because it is a real place, and people are going there, and if we ever had a vision, you say, where is hell? Well, if heaven's up, hell's down. Right? And so that's where it's at. In the heart of the earth. You studied science. Hopefully some of you didn't do like I did and slept through science class, and maybe you paid attention. But I paid attention long enough to know that the center of this earth is what they call a core. And all it is a burning, hot, cold lava. You ever seen a volcano explode and all that lava and hot? That's just hell burping, I guess. I don't know. Making room. That's what that is, coming from the center of the earth. What that is. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, people are going to that place. I'm not happy about it. I don't like it. But I'm telling you, if we ever got a vision of that, Hollywood has destroyed our vision of a place called hell. Hollywood has made all these scary movies and during October we have Halloween and we have houses that we go in and all that kind of stuff is all in all of that. But we desensitized ourselves to the true meaning. There are evil spirits and darkness in a place like that.
Amen.
And we desensitized our kids and we say, oh no, that's not real. That's not real. And yeah, most of that stuff is not real. But there is a place like that that is real.
Amen.
That it's not going to be buy a ticket and go to this haunted house and you get out on the other side. It ain't like that when you take your last breath. People are going to a place called hell. And I'm telling you, without a vision of it, people will perish. And that's what's been going on. And I'm telling you, we're going to reach our community for Christ. I'm telling you, we have to have that vision. That is a real place. I don't like preaching about it because you don't get very many amens on it, but it does need to be said because it is a real place.
Amen.
Now let me move on to the next point. And maybe this one might get some votes. Until there is a vision of the importance of church, people will continue to perish. Until church becomes important. Let me get over here on this side. Until church becomes important, people will perish. Everything has taken the place of church. Church has become a thing that we do if we don't have anything else to do. The important church, the Bible says, forsaking, not forsaking the cells, assembling themselves together as some is. Forsaking the assembly of yourselves together. I don't know if y'all know this, but guess what? Y'all need me. And I need y'all. That's why I showed up this morning. Because I need y'all. You may not think that. You say, man, I could have done just fine staying home. I could have been watching something on TV this morning.
Huh.
I could have watched a good sermon from somebody else on TV that didn't talk about hell.
Alright, bunch of hell.
And I'd have been in my recliner and then I could have dozed off and just slipped off into the afternoon nap. Boy, it could have been really good if I'd just stayed home. Until people find the importance of church Used to, people thought church going was important. It was important for our kids to be raised in church. Amen. It was important for our kids to be raised in church. To hear old-fashioned preaching. Like I was raised on, like some of you was raised on. It's important to be a church. I believe it. Now, I'm not saying, you know, there's certain times people are, you know, sick and all that kind of thing, providentially hindered. But I'm telling you, the church is an important place for our families.
Amen.
A good Bible-believing church. You say, why, preacher, you think you're perfect? Listen, I know I'm not. That's why I'm here.
Amen.
I'm here because I'm not perfect.
Amen.
If you are perfect, you don't need church. If you're perfect, you don't need church. You don't need Christ. You're perfect.
Amen.
But I'm here because I'm not.
Amen.
You ever thought about this and wondered about this? People say this about church. They say stuff about church. They say, well, I'm not going back. So-and-so didn't speak to me. You know how many times I've been to Walmart and somebody didn't speak to me? I still go back to Walmart.
Amen.
You know how many times I've been to Walmart and somebody got swooped over in front of me and got my parking spot? Made me so mad. Guess what? Next week, went right back to Walmart. Because I needed something. You know, I showed up this morning. It don't matter if you get my parking spot. It don't matter if you didn't speak to me or not. I showed up this morning because I need something.
Amen.
I need something. I need something from the Lord. I need something from you people. I like to fellowship around you folks.
Amen.
You say, what is the purpose of church? The purpose of church is threefold. To exalt the saved.
Yes.
To evangelize the sinner.
Amen.
And to encourage the saints.
Amen.
Threefold. If we got those three things right, exalt the saved. Evangelize the sinner and encourage the saints. That's what our purpose is here at Christ Church, Baptist Fellowship, is to do those things. We get a vision of the importance of this place, the importance of this church to our families. We'll see it different. Let me tell you this, and I'll move on to my last point. Anybody want to do a time check? It's 5:11. We're still going to beat the Methodist to the lunch line. All right? Go ahead. They ain't even started yet. That's why I like starting at 10. Boy, we beat everybody. The most time we eat here anyway, so we beat everybody anyway.
Amen.
Let me say this. I heard a preacher that went to visit somebody who'd been missing church. And he'd been slipping church. And you know how easy you miss once, and then it's easier to miss two. When you miss two, it's really easy to miss three. And once you miss three, man, we may not see you till Christmas or Easter. Because everybody comes on Christmas and Easter. I mean, that's just what you're supposed to do. And that's, some people, that's all they need. But I need more than that. And so he went to visit this guy, and he was just concerned about him. He went to visit him and said, hey, we've been missing you. And the guy was in the backyard grilling hamburgers. He had thing there, that's when you always been back to preach your orders when you're grilling and stuff, and you got stuff on the grill and stuff, and it's a good time to invite to preach your orders.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Write that down. Anyway, the guy was back there grilling and things of that nature. And the preacher saw all the hot burning coals there, and he had some burgers on there, and this and the other. So that preacher he was sitting on the edge of the steps just talking just naturally to this guy while he was cooking. And so just nonchalantly, the guy didn't even notice it really. That preacher picked up some tongs and he reached into those burning coals and he picked out one of those hot burning, they just started to get real red and white. Y'all know what I'm talking about. He just picked one of those coals out, just pulled it out and just set it on the edge of the steps there. Let it start to cool. They talked on for about 30, 40 minutes, just about anything. Bunch of stuff. And finally, that guy noticed, he said, "You what?" And the preacher picked it up. By now, it was cool. Well, you could pick it up. He picked up that coal, and he says, you know, 30, 40 minutes ago, I picked this up. It used to be very hot, but it got away from the others. It got away from the others. It got away from the others and got cold. And you may not think you need to be around others, but once you're not around others, you start to get cold. So he picked that coal up, put it back into there with the others, and it went just like that. Started getting hot.
Amen. Amen.
You ever been that way?
Yes, yes.
Hey, you start slipping, or you start getting cold, and somebody pulls out in front of you, and boy, just, I mean, you know, you start getting really just cold and indifferent. When you get around folks, the things of God. Listen, folks, it's like this. I don't know where you work, but I promise, I probably, wherever you work, is not as in Christian environment as what we're in this morning. I guarantee at work, they probably didn't say, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. So you're around that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and you're around that, guess what, on Sunday, you need this. You need it. Whether you think you do or not, you do. I do. I need it. I get mean during the week. I said, man, I need church. I need some church. So without a vision of the importance of church, people perish. But lastly, and I'm done. This is real quick. Without a vision of Jesus Christ, people are perishing. The verse in the Bible, the men said, oh, that we would see Jesus. Oh, that we would see Jesus and the importance of what Jesus Christ can do in your life. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, without a vision, where there is no vision, people perish. Let me ask you this in closing. What is your vision for our church? What is your vision for our church? Where do you see us in 5 years? Where do you see us? Is it just the same little group? I don't know what God's plan is for. I'm not saying God uses small churches.
Amen.
He uses big churches. All the different sizes of church. God uses all of those. I don't want to paint the picture that only God uses the big. We gotta fill up every seat before God uses. No, I'm not saying that. But we ought to have a vision of where we want to see ourselves reaching our community. Listen, folks, there's enough people not going to church this morning that we don't have to go steal somebody from somebody else's church.
Amen.
Now, if they're looking for a new church, that's fine, whatever. But there's enough people sitting at home right now this morning not going to fill up every church in our community.
Amen.
We got a vision. Lost people. A vision that we're going to stand before God one day. A vision of a place called hell. A vision of the importance of this place. A vision. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Without a vision, the people will perish.
Right.
Heavenly Father,